How are you, amazing people? You're amazing. You better look at your neighbor and tell, you probably haven't heard that for a few days. You're amazing. Look at your neighbor. Tell them they're amazing. Come on. Now I'll tell you why you're amazing. How many of you want to hear a fishing story? It's part of the message, part of the Word of God. So, my wife and I thought we'll take a little holiday and we'll go to the island. So, anyway, I think a month before or so, we'd met some business people, and this guy was, you know, really proud of his son. And his son's name is John. John is a charter fisherman in Tofino on the west coast. And he's booked a year, maybe 2 years in advance. Anyway, my wife and I thought, well, we're going to take a little trip. I thought, well, I'll just email him. Send him an email just to see. Say, hi, I know your dad. We're going to be out in that area. Just wanted to, you know, see if there was any opportunity. About an hour later, he phones. Al phones, his dad phones, and said, you're not going to believe it. He just had a cancellation for one day. I said, that's God. But that's not the only story that we get there. You know, there's lots of little things in between that God does along your trip. So we're fishing, and you know, it's rough out there in the ocean, so we're staying in amongst the islands, and yeah, fishing's not going too great. That's okay. Aaron and I, you know, most guys take their buddies fishing, I take my wife. She's my buddy. She's brave enough to go, and she endured the seas. I was getting a little green at times. It was fine. But I wanted to, the reason I tell you about the fishing story is not, you know, we caught a fish this big, which it was pretty big. It was about that big. One of them was. But it's the whole thing is how those fish came into the, I mean, this guy's a good charter. But there's days where they don't always catch their limit, right? We caught 14 fish. 2 halibut, 3 salmon, 6 lingcod, and 3 rockfish. But the interesting part of the story is so John is a Christian as well. And every time we would start talking about the Word of God, we'd get a bite. We're talking about the stories that Jesus said to Peter, go back out and, you know, but Lord, we've been fishing all night. Jesus said, but, you know, go back out. It's okay. And they didn't go very far. The fish came to the net. And that happened 3 or 4 times. Every time we'd start talking about the Word of God and about fish, we'd get a bite. Yeah, both lines. 2 salmon. You know, so God was really showing me, well, if that works for catching fish, it'll work for catching men. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. You know, we don't got to go try just leading people to the Lord like it's a job. We just got to tell them about Jesus, about the Word of God, and they'll come looking for the bait, just like them fish did, and they came into the boat. And we did. We thanked the Lord for the fish before we went fishing. Anyway, that's my fishing story, our fishing story. We were pretty blessed. So I want to talk to you this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to, and I'll try to give you the Reader Digest version of the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I want to talk to you about having purpose. Everybody here in this room has a purpose. You might be, I know some of you, most of you got gray hair. Some of us got no hair. But that's okay. God still used you. He used Caleb. He was 85. He just really started his ministry then, so don't think you're too old to do anything. You know, you might be the next pastor of the church. You might be the next business person. Who knows? God has a purpose, but so many times we wonder, we want to, you know, God, how are you going to do this? I want to mention a word to you. It's called Mada. What does Mada mean? Well, I'm going to show you. If you read chapter, the Second Chronicles, chapter 1, if you read all the way through that entire chapter, which I'm not going to do for sake of time. If we had more time, I would. But it says Solomon, son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom. Remember the word kingdom. And the Lord, his God, was with him and made him exceedingly great. Then it goes on, and Solomon spoke to all of Israel, the captains, thousands and hundreds, and to the judges and to every prince in all of Israel, and the heads of the father's house. And if you keep reading through, you can see that Solomon was already king over Israel, already getting very well established. And when we get down to verse 10 or verse 9, it says, or verse 8, Solomon said to God, you would have shown great mercy and loving kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Sometimes we get to a place and we think, oh, you know what? This is as far as it goes. So then Solomon says, now, O Lord, let your promise to David my father be fulfilled. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. And this is where it gets interesting. He doesn't ask God for the promises. He tells God, you promised my father. But he says, give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this your people who are so great? Now, I want to talk to you about, so you understand here that he's managing a kingdom. And from what I can hear in his voice, he's feeling the pressure of managing a kingdom, something that's bigger than he is. And so if you feel like you're in a position where something's bigger than you, and I feel like that quite often, I have to remind myself that this isn't about me. This is about him. This is about God's plan. And so the word knowledge, when you go back into the ancient Hebrew language, is where you get the word mada, M-A-D-D-A. So Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom and for knowledge. So as you can see from 1 to 10, there are promises in there, but he didn't ask for the promises. He asked the Father. And this is what the word Mada means. So the word that we understand as knowledge, and the world would say, oh, that's science and different things. But let me share with you what Mada means. And this is how Solomon managed the kingdom. And this is how we are to manage the kingdom of God in the earth. Because he gave us authority and dominion, right? Some of you believe it. Amen. So, what does Mada mean? Mada means intelligence, consciousness, knowledge, science, thought. When you go into the ancient picture Hebrew language, it is a picture of a door. And then it has the eye, is a picture of the eye. Through the eye, one experiences his world and learns from it. Combine these pictures, mean the door of the eye is the window into the man's very being. Experience is gained through visual observation. Knowledge is achieved through these experiences. The word knowledge, the word madab, means to have an intimate relationship. M-A-D-D-A. Intimate relationship. Solomon said to God, he already had a lot of stuff. He didn't ask for any more. He said, I want to have relationship with you. And that will give me what I need to manage the kingdom that you have put in my authority. So it's an opinion, it's knowledge. Knowledge through science, it talks about science. A desire to know something, and that's so. To have an intimate relationship with another person, an idea, or an experience. And so for us, we experience God because He lives on the inside of us. And when we start to speak life into situations, whether it's calling a fish to a hook or a person, whatever it is. And so when Jan was singing the song this morning and I was waving the flag, I could feel the anointing of God. It was powerful. But we want a medav with God. And so that's what He was really, really after. God, this thing is so big that I need you to be with me. I need to be able to So he asked the Father, really, he said to God, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be intimate with you. Because he knew that this would give him the power to do what God called him to do. And you see, he wanted God, and part of that, in that word in there, in the, if you go through it a little bit deeper, it says that he wanted the source. God is our source. We heard testimonies of healing this morning. God is the source. To all things, to healing, to provision. And Solomon understood that. And that's why Jesus said, if my word abides in you and you, and if you and I abide, you abide in me, and I abide in you, what shall you ask the Father? Anything? He didn't say some things. Maybe I'll give them to you. He said, ask anything in my name and the Father will give it to you. This will kill a religious devil. This will kill religious spirits because they don't like it. You know why? Because they can't understand it. And we don't have to understand. All we have to do is trust in Him, in the one who said, these are my promises. So I want to encourage you today and for this coming season. Stop worrying about gas prices. When you find yourself talking about it, and stop it. God is my source. He's not worried about gas prices. He made the gas. He made the cars. I'm speaking to myself. Like Darren said, I have to humble myself to hear God. You know, we didn't need to worry about what's going to happen. God's in control. He allowed these people into... I don't want to get caught up in politics. Jesus. It's really called doing life with Jesus. Not in a religious way, because you can say the name of Jesus and not have any power. But when we say His name and we know who He is, He shows up. In fact, He lives on the inside of us and walks around in us 24 hours a day. We just need to be aware of it. I mean, if Solomon in the Old Testament before Christ could ask God for that intimate relationship to be the very source, how much more us as believers in Christ who have been filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not just a little bit of Him, but the fullness. Amen. My Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, what is it that you want from God? You see, the Lord spoke to us. We have a fairly big vision. We have lots of things on the go. And you can start to look for, you start looking at the vision and you start looking at the promises. And that's okay, but don't let the promise become your main focus. Solomon didn't focus on what God promised him. He focused on, I want a medah with you. And if I'm medah with you, God, all these promises, they're going to chase me down. And so the Lord was showing me, because in our visions and stuff that we have for our businesses and different things, I'd kind of lost sight of what the main focus was. And the main focus was is to have all of these promises contribute to God's kingdom. So the Lord said, focus on the main center of the promise. Not the outer, because the outer will flow into the inner. And that's the same thing here. Whatever God has called you to do, I mean, I know it's hard to do, especially in business. And when you have lots going on, you want to focus on those things. But we need to focus on the promise. And so God said, I really want you to medah with me. Just hang out with me. And I will lead you and I will show you things. And if you think it's too hard, that's good. That's even better, because it's not about you. It's about Him making it happen. Amen? You see, but we are human, and I'm probably more human than some of you in some ways. I don't mean as human beings. I mean as, you know, as a person, you know, you got to figure it all out. God, I've got to have this figured out, or how do I do this? We don't always have to have it figured out. We can go step by step and just trust Him. You see, faith is one thing, but trust is another. Trust is when the lady, the dear sister, said, no, God told me to get up, and I'm walking through 4 days of pain, but I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to walk this out. That's trust. There's an element of faith in there. Faith says, yeah, I believe it. Thus says, I'm going to do it because He's going to make it happen. Amen? And the same with our country. Oh, it's going to hell in a handbasket. Yep. We sing the song, oh God, we stand on guard for this nation. We stand on guard. We have dominion. He said it'll be healing to the nations. And I want to tell you something. The BC flag represents the coat of arms in BC. You know, it said from sea to sea from that end and sea to sea on this end. And so we were meeting our good business friends on the island. And they believe that the greatest revival that's ever going to sweep this earth is going to start on the island, and it's going to start in the First Nation. That's what they believe. That's what they've been told. That's their promise. So I thought, God, light it up. We are living in the greatest time of history. We're living in the greatest province and the greatest country. Amen. I won't be long, but turn with me. So you know what? This kind of fills in a little bit. You know, the Old Testament always relates back to the New Testament or vice versa. But in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 it says, that entire chapter though is amazing. You know, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could even dare ask or think. Some people ain't daring nothing. They're not even, they don't, but we got to ask not for the things. God knows what we need. But He wants to show us greater things. So, I'm almost done here. I'm going to shock some of you, okay? And nobody said, okay, but I'm going to do it anyway. Huh? Oh, maybe I couldn't hear. Maybe I was focusing. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21, and I'll finish up with that, but I'll read it first, and then I'll... Something just would be sacrilegious in some places. You know, to tell yourself. And I want you to, you know, tell yourself that you love yourself. You ever done that? God loves you. He loves us. He wants you. And the Bible says, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you know you can only love other people as much as you know that God loves you? And when we begin to love the people out there, not judge them, because they messed up. We were messed up. You know, there's a lot of controversy going on right now about some of the new things that are happening in the States and Canada. There's an uproar. So, you know, tell yourself that you love yourself. I love church gave himself. So I was listening to a message and it was really... I'm actually not that loving of a guy. Because, you know, he's working on me. He's building it up. Ephesians here says, you know. He says, for this reason, seeing the greatness of his plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow the knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I sang that song this morning. The Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May He grant you out of the rich treasures of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with a mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts, and may you be rooted deep in His love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself. There's that word experience. We are experiencing God. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. Without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God and may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Woo! Jesus! Hallelujah! Are you getting excited yet? And then he says, and now I'm going to tell you a little story about, you know what, I'm going to do, you ask me for something. God, show me how to love those people. I'm going to do even greater than that. I'm going to make you fall in love with them. I'm going to give you a hunger for them. This is now unto him who by inconsequence of the actions of his power. That is at work in us, say at work in me, is able to carry out his purpose and to do superabundantly far over and above all that I could even dare ask or think, infinitely beyond your highest prayer. Desire, thoughts, hopes, and dreams, and to him be glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus throughout our generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's how much God loves us. And he wants us to love them. I'm finding that it makes it a lot easier to minister when you have compassion. And I know some of you are very compassionate people. I'm just not one of them. I'm just being honest. But I have to ask God. Lord, give me compassion for the lost. You know, those that are. Give me compassion to pray for the leaders of our country. It's just easy to throw them under the bus. I said, Lord, what would I say if I had up? I was listening to a message, and you know that we as kingdom people are to be influencers in the nation. So if I ever had opportunity to have lunch with the PM, what would I say to him? I mean, that's just a thought I had. I mean, I asked my wife, what would we say? I could say that. You know what I mean? God, you'd have to prepare my heart to have that conversation. But if we have the heart of God, and this is the Madah, we would be prepared to have that conversation. And you know what God will do? He will make a way for you to have that conversation. That's how it works. Amen? And that's the word God has for us today. Yeah. Dan's got, he wants to add something. You need to mic. We got time. It's sunny outside. But
the Lord has been bringing this up because, again, our heart, he's always working on. He wants to bring us to his fullness so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. And he does it a lot. He shows me a lot of visions. And I had aught with a person who had robbed from us big time, another Christian. And I mean, that was a wounding. And he showed me a vision of, actually, we were in the prayer room back there, and the chairs were set up in a circle, and there was all these different people in there, me included, sitting in a chair, and Jesus was standing in the middle. And there were some guys like off the street, you know, really dirty looking, and you could tell they were probably shooting up just a little while before, and all these different people from really well-dressed people and everything, and happened to be across from me sitting the person who had done that. And Jesus went to every single person in that circle And he spoke the most beautiful words to each one. Like, you know, like we make judgments, snap judgments about that street guy, you know, kind of thing. You know, just long beard and, you know. And he spoke destiny and he spoke beautiful, beautiful words to that person. And it was so blessing me. But of course, when he got to that one, I'm thinking, Lord, you know, you're a God of justice. You're going to tell him that he needs to apologize and, you know, kind of thing. But he didn't. Because you see, he only sees us in his love. And he spoke destiny and he spoke something beautiful to that man. And it broke something in my heart. And I went, my God, Lord, you are a lover before you are a judge. And that he wants us to be restored to his heart. And so my heart was sinning, you know, because I was holding something. And we cannot do that. His love is so much greater. And so it really did change. And something else came up, and he's been working on that. And so, you know, he's never let me forget that vision. So just wanted to share that about his love.
Praise God, I'm not the only one. Amen. So I'll take this one step further. Before you speak negative about your own situation, your own body, Lord, why is this not happening? Why am I not being... Begin to speak life to your body. Whatever part hurts you, begin to love it. I love my body. We had a meeting with a scientist. Super, super brilliant Christian. 4 master's degrees. I think I shared with you, he took his students and they pulled blood out of their veins and they spoke the word love. They put it under a microscope and what you saw was amazing. Absolutely creative. He had other ones pull out blood at the same time and spoke the word hate. And it was absolutely amazing what we saw on his computer showing us. And we know that. But so many times we speak about the situation that we're in rather than what God sees. And he sees us whole, well, healed. So we have to co-create with God with our words. That's why I said, tell you, I love myself. Take that home. The first time you do it, it's gonna seem weird to you. No, it's not weird. It's no different than telling your spouse or your friend, I love you. And sometimes you need to know that you're loved. Amen. You're all amazed. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we want to do life with you. And Lord, we want to speak your word. The Lord, we spoke your word and fish came to the boat. God, we want to speak your word and have people come to the house. Get saved. They've come to the kingdom. No, we don't want them to come to church. We want them to come to the kingdom. We want to come to salvation. So, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your love for us. It says to know your love, the height, the depth, the width. But Lord, I'm asking you today, show us your love for us in a greater measure, beyond what we know, beyond what we can comprehend. Paul prayed that, so Lord, we come alongside with that prayer wherever he wrote it and where he wrote it from and the time that he wrote it. So God, we align ourselves with it today. to know that love. Mighty name of Jesus. Amen.